asset is there. And so there's that transience where they can just walk from one property onto another, and things like that. Also the alcohol use with all the different ministries that are surrounding them. Okay. I did not, when we first gave you the package, we did not have this included in it, so I gave that to you later. But as you can see, almost all the property surrounding it is, so at the north end, you see Little Journey, Little Heroes Park, or Life's Journey, Little Heroes Park. At the side, you have images of the cross, and then also the Creation Museum is there. Stillwater's Ministry is due south of that property. And then the two other houses that are butting up to 160, whose lines are on 160, who are right or straight across, those are both owned by Fire in the Streets Ministry, which is, the ministries are all working together. So Fire in the Streets, Stillwater's Ministry, Images at the Cross, and Hearts Intertwined Ministry are all working together. And Roger Recate, we've been involved with Roger for probably close to 5 years, but the other ministries have been involved for about 11 or 12 years.
So everybody's working together except for Hickory Hills.
Well, and we've talked to Kurt, yes.
Okay, so go ahead, Ray.
If I understand what you're right, you're wanting us to put more restrictions on somebody else's property, what you're trying to get us to do.
Well, when
they don't have the ability to do that.
When they approved it, the reason that they
Night to rental next door.
Right, and so... property owners didn't want the nightly rental. The other property owner,
There was nightly rental next door already.
That's set up in a Christian setting with stipulations on it.
I understand.
So there's requirements.
But the same, if somebody applies for nightly rental, whether it's Christian based or not Christian based, it's still what we're looking at, is it nightly rental or not nightly rental. So I mean, if there's already nightly rental, it would be really. Out of our ability to say, well, you can have a certain type of nightly rental, or we don't have any control whether to control somebody to say whether they can sell alcohol or tobacco. That's a whole different realm and a whole different board there, and a whole different decision made other than this. I mean, if I remember correctly, this whole deal was for an approval for an RV park with nightly rental, not that based on alcohol and tobacco. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but I think that's way out of our hands on controlling somebody.
There's no regulations in the code book that addresses that.
None whatsoever based on that.
So. Well, but it was also the compatibility to the ministries in that area.
But there, we don't have, I don't think that we even.
I don't think we have any control over that.
None.
So even though the neighbors didn't want it.
So, I mean, just think about it this way. I mean, if whoever bought the first ministry's property, and if everybody came and said, well, we don't want a ministry, I mean, they don't necessarily base it on that. I mean, it's the same deal. When they looked at this situation, they said, you're wanting to do nightly rentals. Well, there's already nightly rentals next door. That's compatibility. So
even though it was set up with restrictions to it, so it wasn't compatible in that way.
Well, whose restrictions?
Well, we brought it to the board about the restrictions that were on that property.
On the existing nightly rental, which would have been the ministry's property.
On Little Heroes.
But again, that falls back in the category that we don't have control of that type of restrictions on alcohol or tobacco.
Even the use or that of them on the property, too.
No.
None.
I mean, it's legal for them to do that.
It's legal. I mean, exactly. I mean, there's obviously steps that they would take. We don't grant alcohol and tobacco license. That's not even our department. There's other steps they take in that. What our issue is here, we look at an approval of nightly rental and an approval of compatibility in that standpoint. And there was already a nightly rental next door. So, I mean, that's, if just because you have a restriction on yours, which I would expect you to, because that's what you're doing.
Well, it's not, that's not on our ministry specifically.
I apologize.
But on Roger Recate's, yes.
Yeah.
But he was going to speak.
I mean, I'm just stating that's way out of our realm on that.
We don't have any jurisdiction over that.
And so the compatibility to the ministries also, you're not able to put any kind of variances on or restrictions?
No.
I couldn't find anything in the code book.
I gave them our RV regs, and they very well know the nightly rental regulations.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions. You guys?
Okay.
So deed restrictions and covenants are not enforceable by anybody but circuit court.
Yep.
So it, my two boards can't be involved with making decisions on applying CCRs because they have no jurisdiction over those.
It's
a voluntary.
We can't write the CCR.
Yeah. Every situation, every subdivision in our county that has CCRs, we don't make decisions when they apply based on CCRs. We can't. That's not how the rules work. That's enforced through civil matters, through the subdivision itself, not by us.
I was just thinking back, Scott, to different times when I was like on the board. So mm-hmm. there was I was on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mm-hmm. So January of 2011 was my last time on that. But I knew there was certain subdivisions and different things that went in. So the subdivision was applying, and so there was restrictions we would put on different things. It just depended on what it was. So not on the building part, but there could be restrictions that were put on. That's why we were assuming.
Okay.
For the number of lots or the width of the lots or?
No, I was just thinking like sound decibels was one of them on one of the projects that went through that we had regulations with fines. And that was put on from the Planning and Zoning Board, so not even from the. So there was stipulations that could be put on when a project was being approved. There could be stipulations that were put onto it so that it had a requirement. And if they did not meet those requirements, there was a fine that was involved with it that could be enforced.
Yeah, the subdivision regs were taken out of the guidance code, and then Bob rewrote those. And they're a separate document, and there's nothing like that in those.
In those now.
Subdivision regs now.
Okay, and it was,
and that's
like,
a whole separate,
and like I said, 2011 was the last time it was.
Yeah.
January
he
2011.
Pulled those out. I'd have to look at the date, but 2013 or so.
Okay.
So now going back to Corey's question, so if he had applied for this whole setup with no alcohol and tobacco, you'd still be opposing it or appealing it, or you'd have been okay with it?
I'm not sure. There's just different things that go on because there's, you know, the different property owners are looking at different things. Not saying we would want to deny it or whatever. There's just restrictions. Even like where the pool's set up.
Because let's say there's no pool. Would you still be appealing it?
You know, I'd have to talk to Pastor Larry, who's with Stillwater's ministry in that, and also with Carrie and also with Roger on that. So.
Okay.
There's definitely things that we could, you know, look at in that. So.
Okay.
Do you have any more questions, or I'll let the experts go?
No, we're good.
Thank you.
My name is Kerry Brown. I'm the executive director for Images at the Cross, which built the cross. I'm also the chief counsel for Reflections Ministries, which does pro bono legal work for the ministries. Stillwaters represents 17 different 501c3 ministries that are in partnership together developing this northwest corner of 65 and 160. I think one thing that impressed me 12 years ago when I showed up for the first time at another planning and zoning meeting, was that, we were basically trying to get provision to build the cross. And at that time, there was a height requirement, and there was also a variance for setback for the cross because, as you can see, we're building it pretty close to a state and federal highway. We went through that process and, you know, we were kind of told, my dad was told ahead of time that, this is probably going to be about a 6-week process. It took 11 months, in order to get permission. And, we did finally get permission, and it was amazing and a miraculous, thing to have that happen. But at the time, there was little, if nothing, out and around that area. And over the past 12 years, we've made friends, we've partnered with these other ministries, one of which Mark mentioned, has just recently, within the past 6 months, purchased two houses across the street from the 92 acres. They've spent a total of about $550,000 just within this past 6 months in order to purchase those two properties specifically for ministry purposes. In addition, currently the Cross property, which started at 17 acres, is now up to 30 acres immediately to the east of the 92 acres, has spent over $3 million. We expect to spend between $20 and $30 million within the next 10 to 15 years, continuing to develop. Matter of fact, last week we received approval not only for our Welcome Center to be included on the 30 acres, but also two additional crosses of similar height to the one that's already there. So we have a very much a vested interest. One of the things that kind of hit me when I was looking at the proposed design for the 92 acres next door is immediately over the line. It wasn't about permission for RVs, or it wasn't about permission for nightly rentals for cabins. His proposed design that he drew out was tents. I looked at that and I thought, well, usually if you've got an RV coming in, or if you're renting a cabin, there's a substantial investment of the people doing it. And I was wondering what tents rent for and how much investment people in that situation have. Because again, for that particular situation, there are no restrictions. Like for instance at Little Heroes Park. So that becomes a real issue, especially since the owner of the property does not currently live on the property and in fact lives in Springfield, as I understand it. So essentially, he's asking these 17 ministries to be the babysitter for whoever happens to be right over the line from where these crosses are. I have a real problem with that. I have a financial problem with that also for these ministries because, you know, part of planning and zoning's purpose, because it was brought up to me during my meeting 12 years ago, was there was opposition to the cross coming in. Somebody was planning a subdivision across the street, and they said, we can't sell our houses because nobody will want to buy them because the light of the cross will keep their kids up at night. So literally, that was severe economic impact. And I'm an attorney in that meeting, and I'm thinking, man, there is no way. And it was miraculous because a man stood up and asked to speak.